Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hello, friends. Today, we are joined by Tina. And when it comes to advocating for ourselves in healthcare and different things we might face in really a body of any size, but especially for plus size people and plus size women specifically, about 11% of adult women worldwide suffer from lipidemia. And it's something that isn't talked about enough. There's a lot of misinformation around it. And Tina reached out and wanted to share her story and to help people understand a lot about it and if you might be having it. And I think this, again, goes back to that whole conversation about how to advocate for ourselves. So Tina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. So why don't you start off with your journey about how you came to learn about lipidemia and how it came into your life?
Well, I was diagnosed with lipidemia in 2017. So what had actually happened, it was sort of a roundabout thing. I had an autoimmune flare. I hadn't previously had something happen to me like that before. And I went through the hoops trying to get adequate medical care, finally found a rheumatologist. I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. But even with all of the screenings and doing x-rays of my limbs, we still couldn't account for some of the pain that I was experiencing. And I tried to tell my practitioner, hey, I'm actually having pain. It feels like it's actually in my fat. And she looked at me like that was a little crazy. She was, you know, that's not, I don't know if that's a thing.
But that is the actual, like, one of the diagnoses of lipidemia. I feel like maybe we should share a little bit for those listening that are like, wait, what is lipidemia, about maybe even an explanation of what it is as we're walking through your story. I just realized that would probably be helpful. So
yeah,
I'm going to pop on to lipidemiaproject.org, which is a site that you recommend, and just read that lipidemia is a relatively common fat disorder that is often mistaken for simple obesity. Is a clinical diagnosis is adipose tissue disorder or lipid metabolism disorder. And so how that, you know, currently manifests in for many people is with their outer limbs. And so what you're explaining is that you felt like you were feeling this pain in your fat, and that's actually how it's described in some ways too, and edema and swelling. And so yeah, let's hear more.
So when I realized that my rheumatologist, you know, had no idea what I was talking about, and that's fine because rheumatologists don't typically deal with this, and I found that out later. I just Googled pain in fat, and all of a sudden, you know, I clicked on the image section of Google, and I see legs that look like mine, and I sort of winced a little bit. Like, does this have to do with my weight? Is it because I'm overweight? Is because of whatever, you know.
Tina, could you maybe describe your legs and what you were seeing and what those changes were?
Well, so before my pregnancy, it started around puberty. I started having growth in actually my arms and my legs. And all through high school, my mom just thought that I was eating something outside of the house, that somehow, you know, I was overeating, that I was eating something, supposedly unhealthy. Doctors were concerned that I was gaining weight rapidly. And meanwhile, I was actually starving myself all through high school. I was barely eating because I saw my body changing in ways that I felt was, you know, societally unacceptable. You know, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, there wasn't the same even clothing options that there are available now for plus size women.
I feel you there. We probably went to high school around the same time. It was hard.
So it wasn't an easy thing to grow up with, and it still isn't today. There's just so much pushback for women of size. It started when I was in puberty. I experienced another growth, which again, I just associated with something I must have been doing wrong. I experienced another growth when I went on birth control in college. And then, you know, it just kept happening. There would be these events in my life that would cause my weight to skyrocket, even though, you know, I remember through my early 20s, I was exercising 5 times a day, hour and a half a day. I was, you know, logging my calories, which, you know, a lot of people, it's disordered eating. I was counting carbs. I was doing all these crazy things and nothing was changing. In fact, my weight was just going up. So,
but something is happening to, like, yeah, your metabolic system, but no one is pointing this out.
And it's just, it's your fault. That's what they keep pushing, is it's something you're doing wrong. It's something is at fault with how you are living your life. And meanwhile, I'm doing everything they're telling me to do and more.
Of course. And it sounds so familiar to all the stories we've had on the show about people with PCOS who are like, no, there's something wrong. There's something going on. And the doctors are like, oh, just lose weight. And here you're having something wrong, but you're having also gross. Like there's something people can see too, and you're not getting the help you need. So throughout adolescence, and then you said things changed again with your body with your pregnancy.
Well, actually, the pregnancy itself was really smooth. I had sort of a dream pregnancy, and up until the end, my amniotic fluid dropped, and that's why they decided to do a C-section. I mean, my pregnancy was very simple. My autoimmune disease went into remission. I didn't have any pain. You know, I had residual nausea, but nothing terrible. I thought I was in the clear, but I did have my lipedema diagnosis at that point, and I knew from my reading and from the doctor that had helped me figure out what my lipedema was.
So with your adolescence, you were seeing changes, there was something going on, and then there wasn't the doctor. And so then you tried to get help and you went online. So then walk us from there.
So I see pictures of women who look like me. They have a small waist, small upper body, but they might have I have very large arms. I carry a lot of weight in my upper arms specifically. It seems to stop at my elbows. And then if you look at me from the waist down, I am disproportionately larger on the bottom half. Now, at that point, my lipedema hadn't started in my calves. Unbeknownst to me, I didn't even know that I had lipedema, but I had very, very, very large, lumpy, almost, I don't want to say misshapen, because, you know, this is my body and I'm supposed, you know, I need to respect it and care for it. But it's very lumpy. Some of the lumps are even hard underneath the surface of my skin. It feels like almost styrofoam or a beanbag chair in some places. And, you know, my body had been this way all my life. So I didn't know that my fat was different than other people's fat. I didn't know that it felt different. I wasn't about to like go grab some thin person's like thigh and be like, how does your fat feel? Mine's bumpy. Like, you know, I didn't conceptualize it.
I wish we could have some of these conversations, especially about our bodies. But, you know, on the one hand, I hear you saying, yeah, you got to embrace it. And on the other hand, like, there's something different. And it is hard. It's like this tightrope of, I love my body, I want to accept my body, but I feel like there's something happening here that isn't, quote, normal, and wanting to get to the root of it. So seeing these photos must have been like, oh, wow, like there I am. But oh, no, there I am. It must have been.
It was alarming, especially when I, you know, I clicked on, you know, a specific photo, and it happened to come from the Lipedema Project website. And this particular website said, you know, this is a painful fat syndrome. Here are some of the symptoms. Here are some of the signs that you might have it. And it was like I was reading my entire life.
Tina.
I mean, you know, they say disproportionate lower body from the waist down, sometimes including the arms. You know, you experience swelling, especially in hot temperatures. There's a beanbag feeling under the skin, hard lumps. Sometimes they feel like marbles. Sometimes there can be a cuff around your ankle. So it basically, lipedema does not involve your hands or your feet. That's a very important distinction. So you might have, you know, otherwise normal looking feet, but then all of a sudden at your ankles, your legs are, you know, they blow up. This is very common with lipedema women. Now, that's a distinction with lymphedema, which is lipedema's cousin. Lymphedema involves your hands and your feet. So if you have significant swelling in your feet that does not go away, that's lymphedema. So that both are lymphatic disorders. They're close cousins. But lipedema involves your fat cells. Lymphedema is simply a faulty lymphatic system. So there's also hypermobility issues. So if you're the fat girl, I use fat. I hope that doesn't insult anyone, but that's the word that I choose to identify with. If you are hypermobile, if you were the fat girl like me, where you love to show off that you could put your hands flat on the ground, touch your toes, you know, you're still that hyperflexible yeah. fat girl, that is a sign of lipedema. The fact that if you can bend your fingers backwards, hypermobility and lipedema are closely tied. In fact, the latest research shows that lipedema is connected to a connective tissue disorder. It's an issue of collagen and collagen breakdown. So there's also pain and tenderness with pressure. So has anybody, if you have a cat, if a cat has ever walked over your lap and it is agony, that's a sign of lipedema. There's more consistent pain in later stages. You might have a heavy and tired feeling in your legs. You might bruise easily. But the biggest sign of lipedema is that no matter what you are doing with diet and exercise, this fat does not change. And that is very important to point out because it's not our fault.
Yeah, that's huge. And it's frustrating too, because I'm sure that you were told, and countless people in your shoes literally have been told, oh, we'll just lose weight and just exercise and then it'll all be better.
Absolutely. I must be doing something incorrect. I must not be living correctly. I must not, you know, feed myself healthfully. I must not, you know, take care of my body if my body looks like this. And it's just not the truth. I had gone through years of, like I said, calorie counting, exercising in crazy amounts. I was very, very strong and felt good physically, but I was always fat. That didn't go away, even if I felt completely healthy. And mind you, I don't have any of the comorbidities that typically come with standard obesity. So I'm not diabetic. I don't have high blood pressure. I don't have high cholesterol. Now, again, those things can equally be genetic issues. They're not always your fault. And that's not something to necessarily internalize. But
totally. And you can be fat and healthy too.
Absolutely.
So there's, yeah.
But there's the essential issue is they're telling me to lose weight for the sake of losing weight, not necessarily to fix any underlying comorbidity. They're not paying attention to what I'm telling them. Like my rheumatologist who just looked at me cross-eyed when I asked why my fat hurt. So clearly there's a big disconnect in the medical community where it's just, if you're fat, it's your fault. Here's what you have to do to fix it. And if you don't, somehow you're, you know, deficient.
You're not worthy of getting good healthcare. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. If you're not going to, quote, fix yourself, then we're not going to help you.
Absolutely.
And that is infuriating.
So, I mean, when I got pregnant, I mean, obviously the first thing I did was try to find a size-friendly provider. And because I had already had my diagnosis, again, I went and found my diagnosis by just doing the legwork. I looked at the Lipedema Project. The Lipedema Project bumped me over to the Fat Disorder Research Society, which they have a conference every year. They have a plethora of videos online explaining what lipedema is, how to do self-care, how to find a provider. And I found a provider. Now, granted, there are not many medical doctors in the United States that are truly versed in this. Now, if your primary care provider is supportive of you, you can bring the criteria to your primary care provider and they can provide a diagnosis, because it is a diagnosis of exclusion and it's a diagnosis of basic, physical inventory. So they look at your physical body. There's not a
like
lab.
A checklist of where you have to, certain things you have to have to get the diagnosis.
Exactly. So if you have a size-friendly and supportive primary care provider, they can read up on this very easily and provide you with a diagnosis and the, you know, typical standard of care. That's available. But what I wanted was somebody who pays attention to this, who had been doing it for years. So I found a specialist. I live in the DC area and I drove to Baltimore, which is about an hour and a half's drive. It wasn't too bad. I was very lucky to have someone fairly close by. Some people, there's not even a provider in their state.
Hey, Tina, I think a drive to a doctor, like 20 minutes is a stretch. So I am quite impressed. I mean, let's be real, like an hour and a half while you're saying, oh, it wasn't bad. Like to see a specialist, like I admire that you were like, I need answers and I'm going to go to someone who's going to give them to me. And that is like ultimate self-advocacy, and that's awesome, and it shouldn't be downplayed.
Well, frankly, Jen, the big issue here is that lipedema is progressive, and you can be thin. Now this is something that most people don't understand, because it is an adipose disorder. It's a fat tissue disorder, but you don't have to be fat to have it. You can be a size zero. You can be 110 pounds and still have lipedema. And it can still be equally as painful as somebody who is 350 pounds like me. So it's a complicated disorder. And I didn't want to see my body get out of control, which with lipedema, it's about stopping that progression. It's about stopping. If you've ever seen, and maybe this is a bit terse, I don't know, but if you go to Walmart and you see an especially fat woman using the motorized scooter because her legs are so infinitely large, you know, like we use those BOPO terms, super fat, infinite fat. I'm super fat, by the way. You see a very large woman with very large legs, and she can't walk because of the heaviness of her legs. That's lipedema. That's not something she did to herself. That is a disease. And yeah, so many women don't realize that you can go from, you know, perfectly mobile having your mobility in jeopardy. And that's actually what happened to me.
So I can only imagine how, like, yes, I want the answers, but then also being enraged that all of these years, like decades, like you're not getting help with something. And now you're realizing this is progressive and I need to know what I can do.
Absolutely. So I drove myself up to Baltimore and got myself to Dr. Alan Kimmel. So if you're in that area, he's an excellent, excellent physician. He's a lymphatic specialist and a vascular surgeon. But they did the full examination. They examined my gait. They took my measurements because they're looking for certain percentages, like a waist to hip ratio. They, you know, literally like knead your fat to sort of feel for nodules, or, you know, they're basically looking to see that there's a difference in texture. They take a pain inventory, all of those sorts of things. And I was diagnosed. And luckily, you know, what that led to was telling me how I could care for myself, because currently lipedema is, it's incurable, but there are ways to stop the progression. And that includes protocols like, they call it complete decongestive therapy. It's where you go for, they basically move the fluid out of your lymphatic system sequentially. So from the ankles up, it flushes out, and they keep you wrapped up like a mummy. And they do this for about 3 to 4 weeks every single day, so that lymphatic fluid can't feed your fat cells. Which is, wow, if you're getting into the technicalities of it, which I don't know. If you want to read on that, I'm providing resources later.
Yeah, we'll have a ton of resources in the show notes for sure.
But compression garments, women can wear compression. So people in smaller sizes and lower stages of lipedema, so basically less disease progression, can wear typical off-the-rack active wear compression, and that will typically help sort of keep everything at bay. My doctor likened it to a hermit crab. So if you keep in your little shell, then you're not going to outgrow your shell. Dry brushing, so getting circulation to the skin and fat cells, aquatic PT and pool exercises, and a pneumatic compression pump. So this is something that basically does that massage thing, that massage process, but at home. So you wrap your legs up like a mummy, and it basically presses against your legs from ankle all the way up to the bust line to keep your lymph moving, so that it doesn't get trapped and it doesn't feed into your fat cells. So I felt like I was armed to the teeth with keeping my lipedema from progressing. But Dr. Kimmel did give me a warning, and he said to look out for hormonal events. And with hormonal events comes growth. So when I became pregnant, very late December, early January 2018,
yeah, that's a big hormonal event.
Oh, yeah.
There, Tina.
I got my butt right back to Dr. Kimmel.
Yeah.
Said, what do I need to do to get myself prepared? And he said, you know, you're doing everything you need to do, but heaven forbid you have a C-section. And he didn't really go into detail about that. And frankly, I don't know why I didn't ask him why that would matter. Maybe I was too scared of the answer, but I was determined not to have a C-section. I mean, I was, you know, when I found out that my baby was breech, I was, you know, standing on my head on doing like the crazy yoga moves on the wall, like for hours at a time, trying to get him to flip. And like I said, I had a pretty easy pregnancy. I got off very easy with my pregnancy, I think. But the issue wasn't my pregnancy. The issue was what came after. Now, I did end up having a C-section because my amniotic fluid had dropped at 38 weeks. They were concerned about the baby and he was breech. So even though I was hoping in that 2 weeks he was going to flip, I didn't have that time available to me. So we scheduled my C-section and my son was born on August 27th, 2018.
Hey, Tina, when you were weighing the risk benefits of the cesarean, did you mention your diagnosis?
I did, though I provided my care providers, which again, I had size friendly providers, I provided them with some background information on lymphedema so they would know what we were dealing with. I think the key was I didn't realize what a C-section would mean for me in the long term as far as my lymphedema and its progression. And I probably should have asked Dr. Kimmel those dire questions. And maybe, I don't know. It's
who knows? It may have not changed the outcome. Obviously, if your baby needs to be born, your baby needs to be born. But, you know, for those listening, if they're in your situation and maybe it's not as dire as probably you needed to have that cesarean right away, I wanted to ask to encourage people to be asking those questions as well.
Well, I would say that C-section, obviously, for plus-size women, our risks with a C-section are much higher as far as infection, as far as, you know, complications with things like lymphedema, unfortunately. So it is important to avoid it as best as we possibly can. And I do feel like when it all came down to it, I did my best to avoid it. And it just wasn't in the cards for me. After I had my C-section, they actually allowed me to use my pump on my legs. So my pneumatic pump. So I had it in the hospital with me. It was pumping my ankles all the way up to basically my thighs, like where my thighs meet my torso, pumping the fluid back up. But when I got home is where things started to fall apart. So this is not necessarily an issue of the medical community, but this is more an issue of community support at large. I don't have any family near me. And while we did have my husband's family near me, culturally, there was a little bit of a disconnect as far as providing support. So,
which everyone needs postpartum.
Absolutely,
support.
100%. Yeah. So when all of this happened, I was recovering from a C-section. My legs were incredibly swollen, like most people experience after pregnancy. The difference is with lymphedema, that swelling can feed my fat cells. Like the longer it sticks around, the more likely I can have growth. And, you know, those first few weeks of taking care of a baby, those, especially the first two months of taking care of a tiny infant, It's so hard on anyone's body. It's hard on sleep. It's hard on, you know, making sure that you're showered and fed, you know, because you're taking care of the baby's needs. You're feeding the baby. You're you know, in my case, I was breastfeeding, then pumping because then supplementing with a bottle, then pumping when he was asleep. So
yeah, and recovering from major surgery and regular postpartum stuff. I mean, yeah, to not have a lot of support during this time can cause issues for people with any backgrounds, but especially
right.
Having a medical condition. Yeah.
And what that meant for me was I couldn't keep my legs elevated. I couldn't get into my pneumatic pump at home, which just a cycle on one leg, unfortunately, takes an hour. So to do both of my legs, it takes 2 hours. I don't, you know, with a baby at home and, you know, no one cooking your meals or no one helping you, you know, with housework and things like that, it's kind of impossible to do any kind of major self-care. You know, a typical mom without a medical issue can barely get in the shower those first 2 months, let alone try to put time aside to take care of these medical issues.
And I do want to share a resource here, and I know it can be a financial one, but if you are in a situation where you don't have a community, I definitely encourage people to look into hiring a postpartum doula. Again, this is can be a financial barrier. That's something to look into, but it's not always something we think about in the moment, nor is it something everyone can afford. But it, again, when you are in the thick of postpartum, like you said, like even just finding the time to shower, to take care of yourself, like you are literally keeping a tiny human alive. Like it's so much. So were you noticing changes with your body, or were you even able to tune into it at that time? Or are you just so focused on just daily keeping things going?
Well, because I had the lymphedema pain and I already knew I had it before the pregnancy, and in some ways I'm fortunate for that. You know, I knew that my pain had a severe uptake. Like I could tell that the fluid that, you know, just about everyone experiences after pregnancy, let alone if you have a C-section, you're going to experience a lot of swelling. My swelling wasn't going down very, very much. And, you know, of course I did all my follow-up, so it wasn't preeclampsia or anything like that, but my legs were still ballooned. My legs still looked huge. They felt horrible. I tried to elevate them when I did sleep, which as we all know is not much. I wasn't experiencing the recovery I needed. And then I started to realize that there was fluid starting to pool in my abdomen. And found out later was the C-section. So what the lymphatic system is almost like your circulatory system or blood vessel, it covers your entire body, but it does have some central ports, if you will. And some of those central areas are right where they cut you for a C-section. It runs right through that like lower abdominal area from hip bone to hip bone. And
so that's when what your doctor alluded to started to all come full circle.
So of course the fluid in my legs isn't moving through my lymphatic system effectively because all of these channels have effectively been cut. And, you know, now I've got a little bit of pooling in my abdomen, which is incredibly uncomfortable. And then after a few weeks, I started having pain in my knees and I started having pain in my ankles. And it was because of all the excess fluid and now weight and growth and pain. And now I have fibrotic tissue over my knees and it came on. I felt blindsided. I felt like I had no idea that I thought I was ready. I thought, you know, I had all my materials. I knew what was going to, you know, I knew that this was a possibility, but I just wasn't ready. And I think a lot of women who have lymphedema and don't know they have lymphedema start experiencing, maybe not to my extent, because like I said, I am, you know, I'm a 350-pound woman. I am, you know, I'm a woman of great size, and a lot of that was already lymphedema fat. So someone who might not have as much lymphedema fat as me, so you know, somebody who's significantly smaller, even slightly smaller than me, might not even attribute these changes to anything other than, well, maybe it's just hormonal, or maybe, you know, I had the opposite effect of breastfeeding. You know, a lot of people lose weight with breastfeeding. Well, maybe I just gained weight, or you know, they start attributing it to, well, maybe it's because I'm on the couch with the baby all the time. But meanwhile, like, you know, we're not feeding ourselves. So how is that happening? Like, I just think that a lot of women, we've been taught to shrug off everything with regard to fat as our fault, as something we're doing wrong, as something implicitly incorrect with our lifestyles. And that's just not always the case. So, you know, if there are women out there who are experiencing, you know, the swelling and they've already been seen by a doctor and there's no preeclampsia, there's no issue with like postpartum preeclampsia, but they're experiencing this postpartum and they're having pain and they're seeing significant changes in their body shape or, you know, specific spots of their body gaining weight, it's worth looking into, and it's worth finding a provider that's willing to listen to you.
Thank you, Tina. That's so, so important. And not just for obviously lymphedema, even though that's really the focus of our conversation, but for everything. I mean, I can't even tell you how often I hear of like these stories of, I was getting a fever, but I was just ignoring it because, you know, I'm taking care of my newborn. And then before you know it, it's like a postpartum infection. And then you're hospitalized. And not to say these things to scare people, but if we stand up for ourselves and speak up when we're starting to see signs, and we know, like, you know, when things are changing, it's so easy for us to push it aside. I mean, I think that's how a lot of us have been conditioned our whole lives, especially as women, just, you know, put ourselves last and others first. But especially as parents and new parents, you have to put yourself first. And I don't care if people are like, Jen, that's so selfish. I have to put my kids first. No, like, you have to put your health first, because if you can't be the best for yourself, you can't be the best for your kids. So by prioritizing our health and our mental wellness, and I mean, obviously we take care of our kids, but I'm just saying, like, if you're super stressed out, you just being present in the room with your kids and attending to their needs while your stress level is building, that is not beneficial for your kids either. So that's what I mean by putting yourself first and getting out of certain situations or going to the doctor when you need it. Like, all of those things matter, and Tina's story matters. And it's so important that we are having these conversations.
I think it's also a step further that as women of size, as fat women, we are taught that people aren't going to listen to us.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost a form of medical PTSD. We go into the doctor and, you know, blood pressure through the roof, you know, we're all worried about, you know, the weight talk, we're all worried about, you know, getting on that scale because we know the lecture is coming. You know, it's almost this implicit gag order. We're not allowed to bring up these issues because we're fat women. And in this case, this is a fat disorder. This is, it's definitely a genetic issue. It's progressive. And that's the big one. That's what kills me. There's so many women. And now that I know that I have it, and I, you know, it is a physical inventory, I can pretty much look at a lot of women and say, you should probably go see a vascular surgeon, go see a lymphatic specialist, because there might be something going on there. You know, you can actually look and see these changes happening. And I want to scream. I want to scream because they might be in the same kind of pain that I am. They might experience the same breakdown after a pregnancy. They might, you know, not even realize that making, like, if you decide to have a pregnancy, maybe you want to make sure that you know these things before you make that decision. I don't know. I wish more people knew about this, because I've seen how it's deteriorated my body in such a quick amount of time. And I consider myself, again, I was a very active person. I've always been very large, but, you know, boy, could I get it done. I could walk miles. It wasn't an issue. Yeah. And then post-pregnancy, I mean, some days I need help getting up off the couch because my legs hurt so much. And my son deserves better than that. My son deserves for me to have my mobility. And, you know, right now I'm currently looking into more, I guess, less conservative treatments. The only other treatment available is surgery for lipedema. And that's actually a form of liposuction. It's called water-assisted liposuction, tumescent liposuction. And it's specifically lymph sparing. So remember, my C-section battered my lymphatic system. We don't want that happening in other spots of your body. So if, you know, you decide to go for surgery as a lipedema patient, it's very important that you go to a surgeon who knows how to do lymph sparing liposuction, so that you don't end up with significant swelling after, and you basically undo all the process. Now, the sad part about surgery is it's not covered by insurance. And it's not covered by insurance because there's very little research supporting its long-term efficacy. And why is there no research? Because the United States has this mental health care block about obesity. We're not putting our resources here. And it's also a women's issue. And since when do people put any resources towards women's issues in this country? Meanwhile, you have Germany, you have the Netherlands. They're leagues ahead of us in these processes. They have so much research available on adipose disorders. And, you know, it's very simple. It's a lot simpler to find a provider, to find a knowledgeable care provider, and get surgery and be in compression at puberty so that you don't, you know, outgrow your hermit shell.
Wow.
So here I am currently, I have to explore surgery now because my mobility has been compromised. Granted, I can still get around, I can still do the darn thing, but it's not what my son deserves. My son deserves for me to be on the floor with him. My son deserves to, you know, have me take him to the park. And right now it's all I can do to take him through Target. So it's time that I look at, unfortunately, some very expensive and more aggressive forms of treatment.
Yeah, I just, like, I want to hug you and I want to, like, scream in rage in the other direction because it's just, it's wrong. And that for so many years of your life, you said, there's something happening, there's something happening, there's something happening. And it was just like, oh, eat less, move more. That's the cure for it all. And I just, like.
How many of us is that our story? It's so many of us.
As a plus-size woman with a very large chest, I know all too well the struggles of finding well-made bras that fit. Thankfully, Leading Lady has me covered. With over 100 size combinations, signature comfort, and supportive features, Leading Lady has you covered too. I'm in love with their Bridget bra that goes all the way up to a size 54G and comes in over 15 patterns. You'll be delighted to hear they also have plus size nursing bras. Go to leadinglady.com today to find your perfect fit and use code LLPOD30, that's LLPOD30, to get 30% off your first order. And now back to the show. Does lymphedema only impact women? Everything I saw said women, so
it's very, very, very exceedingly rare in men. Now, from what I gather, okay, it can be genetically passed through men, but there have only been like maybe 7 cases worldwide where it's been where it's been identified in men. And I think that's, you know, again, the research is only now emerging. There's a few great studies on the NIH website now, finally. But most of it is estrogen driven. So that explains the hormonal events, the puberty, any kind of birth control use, pregnancies, menopause, hysterectomies, any of those things are going to spur on growth. And unfortunately, that's in our realm as women.
And one stat I saw was like 1 in 9, possibly.
See,
now,
that's the thing. I think 11% is, I think that's an underdiagnosis personally, because, you know, thin women can have it. Very small women can still have this, but they might never present themselves for care or for a doctor. They might just think that they have some slight aches and pains and they might never progress because lymphedema has stages. You know, there's great resources on this on the Lymphedema Project, and also the Lymphedema Foundation has an outline on staging, but the higher stage you are, the more obvious this is. So if you'd never progressed past stage 1, you might never actually look for care. So I do think that 11% of women, that figure is low.
Yeah. And there's also a survey you can take on the lipidemiaproject.org, which I thought was interesting. So I'll put that in the show notes along with everything else that you've shared too. But that self-advocacy, and I know that you wanted to come on here and share your story to raise awareness for it too. And for that, I'm so, so thankful. I just, you know, I'm just sorry that it's what you're having to endure.
Well, if anything, you know, can make it worth it, it's making sure that other women don't have to go through this and they're armed with enough knowledge. And also, you know, they feel empowered to get the care that they need.
Yeah.
No one should have to deal with this alone. No one should have to deal with a doctor who is unsupportive and, you know, blows off your concerns, especially, you know, if you happen to be fat. Fatness should not mean that you are less worthy of the best medical care.
Yeah. And then also once we're armed with some of that information to act and to do something about it, I've noticed more swelling in my ankles. And I actually got a referral and went to a vein specialist. And they're like, yeah, there's some early stages. And I don't think it was lymphedema. I think it was the other one, which it's also confusing, but it's not the pitting or sponging.
Now, this is really important. A lot of vascular surgeons, even vascular surgeons, this is their realm of supposed expertise. The first vascular surgeon that I went to told me I had lymphedema. But if you look at the descriptions of lipedema and lymphedema, lymphedema is almost always asymmetrical. So you will only get it in one leg. If both of your ankles are swelling, and let me ask you, Jen, does it get better if you elevate it like at night? Do they go right back
down?
Oh,
yeah. And if I'm being diligent with water aerobics,
that's
better
lymphedema.
Too.
That's not lymphedema. Lymphedema, it doesn't go away. Lymphedema, you have significant swelling that will only go away with that manual lymphatic treatment.
I still need to be doing something about this and to be proactive. And yet I found myself her saying, oh, well, we can have these special compression stockings made for you. And then all I thought of was money. And then I was just like, okay, I don't have the money for this right now. And then I just have gone on my merry way.
Yeah,
and so
I'm calling myself out right now.
I am calling myself out.
These materials are incredibly expensive. And I was actually lucky that because of, you know, I do have my autoimmune issue, I had already met my deductible for the year and I had already met my out of pocket. So number one, I was insured. Oh my gosh, I was insured, number one. Number two, I had great insurance and coverage. And number three, I had already hit my out of pocket. So anything that I needed was already covered, thankfully, for that year. But, you know, yeah. I actually just went to a local vascular surgeon who's taken over my care because I don't want to drive an hour and a half every time.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But he, you know, those compression garments are hundreds of dollars out of pocket. And then they only last like 6 to 8 months. So you have to buy them again. And my vascular surgeon, once again, gave me a prescription and I called my insurance to see what the coverage was. And they wouldn't even cover it this time because my doctor had ordered a lower pressure. So 15 to 30, that isn't covered, but 30 to 40 is. So I had to what am I supposed to do with that information? I'm just going to have to wear my other compression garments because like you said, I can't afford $800 compression garments. Who can do
this? Yeah.
But
you need it
prohibitive.
For your health. This shouldn't be. Yeah. It's so frustrating. But I mean, hearing all of this and hearing your story, to me, I'm sitting here being like, okay, Jennifer, Anne, I need to be more proactive with things that I know are happening and do the things that I've been told, even if all I can afford to do is to go on Amazon right now and buy some compression stockings.
I can
give you
some
my
great
booty.
Amazon recommendations because that's actually what I have on right now.
Okay, awesome. We'll put them in the show notes and get my booty back to water aerobics because we know that aquatherapy is amazing for so many different things as well. And it helps with movement and it's just a good reminder that we can all, when we have something identified, not only advocate for ourselves on the medical end of it, but not ignore it, especially if we're ignoring it because it's cost prohibitive. There still are other things that we can be doing for our own wellness. But it is, to me, it felt so stigmatizing, like, oh, I'm getting the swelling here because I've gain more weight. And one big reason why I recently went through and over the past couple of years, a massive weight gain was I was horribly fat shamed by a doctor and it just put me into this tailspin. And it's like, when do we take it back? Like take that control back. And I work so hard on that all the time. Tell all you guys on the podcast all the time, but I'm clearly imperfect and I am still fighting for my own dignity and self-worth to say like I deserve this and it's so frustrating that
and it's unfortunate that sometimes it even takes a desperation sometimes we string ourselves a lot, we're taking care of everybody else, we're paying attention to the minimum of this stuff because it's scary, because it's overwhelming, because we think we're going to be fat shamed again, we think we're going to be given incorrect information, or that will happen. That's the thing. If our listeners think that they might have lymphedema, I promise you that you'll probably go to a provider and they'll probably give you wrong information, at least at first. You might have to do a lot of digging. But it shouldn't take that much. It shouldn't take an act of desperation. It shouldn't take loss of mobility. It shouldn't take personal discomfort. It should just take self-care. You know, it should just be a part of how we care for ourselves. And unfortunately, the system is against us.
Oh, but there are things we can do, like we just talked about. There are things that you can access. But unfortunately, there are things that can happen in our lives that are out of control, like your cesarean, which has led to this further progression. And by you sharing your story, I know that it's going to raise awareness. And I know some people that are having, you know, what they're explaining as, like you said, pain in my fat. Okay, don't ignore it anymore. Like, if it feels lumpy, don't ignore it anymore. Like, go on to, you really recommend lymphedemiaproject.org. And I was looking through it and there's so much great information, but there's also recommended care providers that you can talk to someone who can really see if this is what you have or not. And this is so critically important. And do this for Tina, do it for yourself, do it for your kids, do it for everyone, but do it for yourself most importantly. But sometimes it's so helpful to hear someone else's story and be like, wow, this is really powerful. Okay, I guess this is, you know, I need to do this now. So do it now.
Absolutely. Get that best life. Live it.
Yes. Yeah, we all deserve it, right?
Absolutely. We deserve to feel good in our bodies. We deserve to be comfortable. We deserve to be confident. We deserve to be, you know, as pain-free as possible. and I wish everyone good health. And even if, you know, somebody is struggling with their health, I wish them, you know, progression and getting better. And that does take effort. And I think, you know, talking about it is step one.
Yeah. And removing the shame around it too is really helpful, and identifying that you're not alone. Like you said, when you saw that image of other people with, you know, their legs like yours, like, whoa, it was like, you know, shocking, but it was also like, oh, this is a thing. This isn't just something isolated to me.
It's not just, and there my are body resources. And being weird, it's actually a thing.
Yeah, which is so important. I mean, that's why I've, you know, for so many years been doing so much advocacy around plus size pregnancy. And now it's like, oh, it's like a hashtag on Instagram. Like, it's a thing. Everyone's talking about it. And I'm proud that I played a small role in that and just help normalizing it, because now people are fighting and demanding for size-friendly care providers. So there's such power in people like you, Tina, being like, wow, this really sucks. I didn't get the care I needed in the beginning. Now I am armed with more information. But now I'm in a position where it could have been so much different. And I just thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your time and your story and sharing. And I know it's going to make a difference. I really do. Are there any other resources that you want to share? I know we're going to put a lot in the show notes as well. And I know you wanted to share where people could connect with you too.
Well, I do want to say that the Lipedema Foundation, that I did provide Jen with that website. The Lipedema Foundation is primarily the source of the most recent research material. So if you do want to go to your primary care provider, if you feel comfortable with that process, there's a lot of great medical resources. So, you know, peer-reviewed studies, materials actually showing that there is a physiological difference between lipedema adipose and standard adipose tissue. And also, the good news is that lipedema will, by the end of next year, have its own ICD code. Right now, it would just be general edema unspecified. So lipedema isn't even codified in the United States currently.
Wow.
So the ICD code is coming next year. And also, a standard treatment plan was just recently worked on at the Fat Disorders Research Conference. That was actually held in Baltimore this year. And the foremost doctors in this field got together. I think there were like 12 or 13 of them. They all got together and they worked on the standard of treatment. So everything.
Oh, that makes me happy.
I know. Yeah. So that means that there will actually be published material that your doctor can access that tells you how you can care for yourself, how you can obtain, you know, professional care, and hopefully more aggressive treatments like surgery will be part of that treatment plan. So insurance companies will have no choice but to cover it.
I hope so. For your case, in the case of, I'm sure, thousands upon thousands.
There are many, many. Oh, that's another resource. There are so many Facebook groups. Particularly, my favorite one is the Lipedema Sisters USA. That's
cool. I'll put it in the show notes.
Excellent Facebook group. If you want to talk to women, if you, you know, feel more comfortable talking to women who might have this, there are women who join every day who post pictures of their legs, who post pictures of their arms and say, you know, I know you can't diagnose me. I know you're not a medical doctor, but what do you think, guys? I've been struggling with this for a while. What do you think? And you'll get feedback and you'll get support and it won't feel so isolating. And that in turn helps you feel empowered to get the care that you need.
Yes, yes.
So highly recommend Facebook groups. I started with the Lipedema Sisters USA. There's, you know, so many groups through that, you know, sort of tumble after that.
Oh, that's great. Where can people find you, Tina?
So my Instagram is Green Porch Light. So it's just one word, no underscores or anything like that. And, you know, my posts are just me and my family, but I'd be happy to hear from you. And if you want to reach out to me for advice on how to handle this, I would love to talk to you. I would love to help you. I would love to, you know, give you the materials that you need to approach your doctor or to maybe find a provider in your area. I'm so happy to help because I don't want any of us to suffer through this. I want us to all be happy and healthy and mobile and, you know, just better off. it's very important to me personally. So don't be shy. If you need help, reach out to me.
Did you hear that, everyone? Reach out if you have questions or concerns about lymphedema. I think it's so wonderful of you to want to put yourself out there in that way. And I appreciate it. I hope people reach out.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, no, I mean, this has been heavy, but it's so such an important conversation. And I really encourage people to also tap into our show notes for additional information, resources, support, even support compression stockings that I need to purchase. So thanks for those tips, Tina, as well.
Remind me to get you that link of the compression garments on Amazon. There are a few of them that are pretty good. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, until next time, take care. Bye. Parents, are you looking for a fun, interactive way to teach your preschooler? Look no further. The Preschool Box is an educational subscription box designed to teach important reading and math concepts. Each month, receive a box packed full of fun, ready-to-use educational crafts and activities that make learning exciting and engaging. Learn more at thepreschoolbox.com and use coupon code PLUSMOMMY5 to get $5 off your first box.